Heavenly Father, we do thank you that that is the truth. You will carry us through no matter what. And we're ever mindful, Lord, that it is your hand at work in our lives. And Father, as we come now back to your word, just strengthen us, Lord, and help us to get our thoughts and attentions back onto you, and that you'd be honored and glorified in all that we say and do this afternoon. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. As you'd like to open to Daniel chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 24. In fact, verse 24 will be the only verse for the message, but I'll read verses 24 to 27 as our Bible reading, and it starts there. It says, "The 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and rebuild Jerusalem under the Messiah of the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people of the Prince that shall come and destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined. And he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abomination he shall make it desolate, even until the consummation, and that determined shall be poured out upon the desolate." And we're looking at the 70 weeks. We're only going to look at verse 24 today, but I'll just read you something Oliver B. Green wrote, and it says, "In many ways, the vision of the 70 weeks is the most important revelation in Scripture because it gives the interpretation of prophetic chronology. It is the key that unlocks the Scripture's truths, and it discloses that 70 weeks cover the period when the Jews are dwelling in their own land. It has nothing to do with the period of time when the Jews are not in their own land. It does not cover this dispensation, the period of their dispersion, but it will again take up their history when they return to their own land immediately after the rapture, when the decree is given to restore and rebuild Jerusalem." We see in our passage today, just a one verse, verse 24, the angel Gabriel lets Daniel know that there will be a longer period of time than that which Daniel had been studying in the books, Jeremiah especially. And this time period will be 7 times longer than God's plan for the Jews will come to its ultimate fulfillment. Now, the time of the 70 weeks of prophecy, it marked off, has to do with Israel, but only while they're dwelling in their own land. And we need to listen carefully. It is completely impossible for anyone to understand God's word without first understanding the purpose and the prophecy that's given in the 70 weeks. If you take this out of the Bible, you're not going to understand it. Now, verse 24 gives a 6-point outline that unveils the things concerning the 70th week. I'll read that verse again. It says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the most holy. See those things, 6 things there. We have to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, we can't study this in one message. It would be impossible to do so unless you want to be here till next Sunday morning. But we're going to look at this one verse here, and because it wouldn't be right to try and deal with this quickly. It wouldn't be right at all. And we've gone so far through the book of Daniel, and we've covered much of it, and we've covered it mostly in detail. So as we come to one of the most important parts, we need to look at this in its depth. Now, we see that 70 weeks are determined there to do what? To finish the transgression. Let's not lose sight of the fact that these 6 things only concern one people. That's the Jewish people. That's no one else. Not dealing with us Gentiles. It's the Jewish people and all the things that are going to happen in Jerusalem. Not here on the Gold Coast, not anywhere else, in Jerusalem, the holy city. So that means these 70 weeks do not concern the Gentiles or the church. This verse is not talking to the church. Now, if we take the promises that are made to Abraham by God and apply them to the church, I want to share something with you. That is spiritual thievery to do that. You are robbing the Bible and God's word of its truth. To spiritualize Israel and to teach that the church has replaced them is to wrongly divide the word of truth. And if people try to tell you that, then they're making the word of God a lie. It's that simple. Amen? That's simple. Israel are God's chosen people, and yet they are yet to see all the promises that God made to Abraham fulfilled. Now, we know the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Messiah, made an end of sin on the cross, and praise God for that. Hebrews 10:12 tells us, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. We also know that Jesus brought about reconciliation from iniquity. In Romans 5:6, we read, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. You see, what Jesus purchased for the whole world through the atonement and reconciliation on the cross is not what's being described here for us in Daniel chapter 9. What we read here is the finish of the transgression, and it only concerns one type of people, and that's the Jewish people. That's not about us. And at this stage, they're still cut off, as it says, the wild olive branch is still grafted in. Romans chapter 11, 17 and 24. And Israel, because of their unbelief, have been cut off for a season, and God turned from them to the Gentiles temporarily. Romans 11, 11. We don't have time to look at all the scriptures, so write them down. And the transgression of the Jewish people will not be finished until they as a nation repent and turn to God. Now this takes place after the rapture, at the end of the 7-year tribulation, at which time Israel will see him who they had pierced. They will recognize him by the nail prints in his hands. And Zechariah 13 verses 6 to 9, well, they tell us, and none shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. Now, Romans 11 clearly teaches that God has not cast away Israel. He has not cast them away. Without doubt, they have been cut off for a season, for a time, because of their transgression, but they will be saved, and God, the only promise keeper, brothers and sisters, will fulfill every promise he made to Abraham. Now, as part of the Christ bride, the church, we're heavenly people, and I've mentioned this before, our citizenship is in heaven. We're pilgrims on our way to a city whose builder and maker is God. Israel, they're earthly people and they've got earthly blessings, and it still all hasn't been fulfilled for them just yet. So we see there the promise to finish the transgressions. Secondly, to make an end of sins. This is for Israel at an appointed time. Romans 11, 26 and 27 says, And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them when I shall take away their sins. Now, this is not the rapture. The rapture takes place before the tribulation. But when Jesus comes at the end of that 7-year tribulation period, in his revelation, every eye shall see him. All the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. And then he will deliver Israel and make an end of sin. Now, Jeremiah 31 and verses 31 to 35, God made a covenant with Israel, and God promised them in verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord. And look at the promise, for they shall know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I shall forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Now, these words of God are to Israel. Israel rejected the gospel and God turned from them, but only for a time, to the Gentile world. And God's promises to them will be fulfilled regardless of what some are preaching today, that the church has replaced Israel. That's false doctrine, that's a lie, and that is to rob the Bible of its truth. It is to rob God's people, Israel, of every promise that he ever made to them. It's false teaching, and it does paint God as a liar, and that cannot be true. Romans 3:4 says, God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Numbers 23:19 tells us, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Now, Isaiah, he speaks of a day when men are going to study war no more. Isaiah 2:4, there'll be no more study of war. And no matter what the governments of the world are trying to do today, no matter what they're saying about the state of this world, no matter what they're saying about the mess that this world is in, 2 Timothy 3:13 tells us, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's the day we're in right now. And if the people of this world would just humble themselves, seek God's face, study his word, they would know that there will not be an everlasting righteousness until the King of Kings sits on the throne of David in Jerusalem, in the flesh, on this earth, when the knowledge of the Lord will cover this earth. And until then, and only then, will this sick and sorry earth have peace and be made whole. And not until then. Only when Jesus comes with his church, and then the kingdom is set up on earth, he will make a new covenant with Israel, and he will be their God, and they shall be his people. But not until he comes again. That's the position that we're in. And we see that many are taking the word of God wrongly, and they're deceiving people, and they're upsetting people. And I know of people who are beside themselves because they think that the church has been replaced, Israel's been replaced by the church. And these are God's words. God made a covenant with Israel, and God cannot lie. Now, Daniel's 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and thy holy city. And God says to us, listen, he says, be careful. Don't try and make this suit the church, because it's not going to fit. Only when Jesus comes again will this earth be made right, not until then. If you look at the fifth one there, we see to seal up the vision and the prophecy. You know, 1 Corinthians 13:8 says to us, charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away, for we know in part and we prophesy in part. Now, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Now, shall fail, that's the Greek word for katageo, and it means to be done away. Now, it's a verb, and it means to literally reduce inactivity. Now, kata is a word for down, and ageo is idle. So what's given to us there is very simple. Do we all understand that? That's simple, isn't it? It's understandable language. The divine fact is the time would come when prophecies are going to be made inactive. In other words, no longer function. Verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 13 said, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. You know, God spoke to the people through prophets at different times and in different ways. But in Hebrews 1, we're told God, who at sundry times and in devised manners spoke under in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. You know, today James 1:25 says, we have the perfect law of liberty. And in the Bible, we find everything we need to know about God and eternal things. We need no outside prophecies. We need no new revelations. God has spoken. We have it. God does not need to reveal anything new to us. And all true knowledge since the Bible was completed comes through the Word, through the study of the Word, through the reading of the Word, and again through the preaching of the Word. And if anyone adds or takes away from the completed word of God, they're going to suffer destruction for doing so. Revelation 22, 19. We do not have signs for today. And let me assure you, every prophecy not yet fulfilled concerning Christ will be, and soon will be, all to the glory of God. But today we do not have signs and wonders anymore. They have finished and they have ceased. Now, in our text, Daniel 9:24, we see there the words to seal up the vision and prophecy. Now, this is talking to Israel. Again, it's not the church. This is future time, not now. And the word vision, dream, and prophecy inspired man are in a singular term. And these promises we're looking at, they're only related to Daniel and his people. Now, Israel as a nation, they haven't experienced yet their national salvation. And the church cannot be fulfilling these things now. We are not Israel. We have not replaced them. This is all future. This is not for today. Now, my personal view, and it's only mine, is that all Israel has ever looked for in her relationship with God and all that God has revealed to them will be completely fulfilled when their Messiah appears, and as a nation they shall be saved. And that's how I read that, but that's just how I read it. And that's exactly what will happen to these people. And what a glorious day that'll be. Now, sixthly, we read there, to anoint the most holy. Now, in Ezekiel 41 and 42, we won't look there, but what we'd learn there is a new temple, the millennial temple. It'll be built on the same spot that Solomon's temple is built on. And today there stands there the Mosque of Omar. But apart from that, the temple area is open. Now, after the rapture, the temple will be rebuilt. Now, the first time the Shekinah appeared was at the Exodus, when God went before the children of Israel in a pillar of cloud during the day and a pillar of fire at night. Now, Exodus 13:21, it says, the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light. To go by day and night, fire by night before the people. You think about it, the next time when the tabernacle was built, Shekinah glory took possession. Exodus 40, verse 34. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Exodus 25, 22. And there I will meet thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony, of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. Numbers 7:8. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubs, and he spoke unto him. Remember Solomon, when the temple was dedicated, 1 Kings 8. It came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister before the cloud, and the glory of the Lord had filled the house. Listen, there's a time coming when the glory of the Lord's going to come back. He's going to anoint the most holy, and it'll fill all the work that's there to be done. And what a day that's going to be. What a day we are looking for that's coming. And it's a day for Israel when they will receive all their glory back again. And Ezekiel 9:3 says, the glory of the God of Israel was gone up from the cherub whereupon he was to the threshold of the house, and he called to the man clothed with linen which had the writer's inkhorn by his side. Again, Ezekiel 11:23, and the glory of the Lord went up from the midst of the city and stood upon the mountain, which is on the east side of the city. You know, what a time this is going to be, when God's glory will come back. It'll anoint the most holy. And in his vision of the temple, Ezekiel sees the Shekinah glory, and it comes from the east. And he says, after he brought me to the gate, even the gate that looketh towards the east, behold, the glory of the God of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shined with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw, even according to the vision that when I saw I came to destroy the city. The visions were like the vision I saw by the river Chebar, and I fell upon my face, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by way of the gate whose prospect is towards the east. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. If people are going to tell you that the church has replaced Israel and all this is done and dusted, that's not the truth. And we couldn't have gone any further with these teachings until we discovered exactly what God wants us to know in all of this. Because, you know, when God sent his son into this world, he just didn't die for certain people. He died for the whole world. That's why it says he made reconciliation for iniquity. Whose iniquity? In this passage of Scripture, it was Israel's. It's their perversity, their moral evil. Now, Isaiah says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And that is for all, but it doesn't apply to Israel as a nation. And we're now in the dispensation of grace, and everybody, every race, every nation, every people, including Israel, the same way we are. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They believe on him, trust in his shed blood on the cross, and receive him by faith. And that's the only way to become a member of the body of Christ, where the scripture tells us there is neither Jew nor Greek. Galatians 3:28. And at this time, today, anybody, regardless of who they are, where they come from, can be saved and become a member of the body of Christ. And when that body is complete, it will be caught up out of the way. And then the Jews, and listen carefully, not as individuals, but as a nation, will look upon him who they have pierced. And Revelation 1:7 says, behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. And they also which pierced him, and the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him, even so. Amen. Listen, Israel will be saved as a nation, regardless what those spiritual thieves preach about the church replacing them. God will keep them, restore them to himself again as his chosen people. And then we will see that everlasting righteousness. Do you know, in a few weeks, we're going to be celebrating the birth of our Saviour. And on that night, he was born into the world, we read, and suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and peace and goodwill on earth towards men. And that day is coming, but that day is not here. That day will not come until the Lord Jesus Christ comes again. The church is raptured out. He comes back in the revelation. He will save all of Israel. They will turn to him as their Savior and God. And then and only then will there be the peace on earth that God has promised. But not until then. And we see here Jesus, when he comes back to this earth in the Revelation, and the millennial temple is built, the Shekinah glory will come down and anoint the most holy place. Do you know, when you study the scriptures, the Shekinah glory of God has to do with his people Israel when they're back in their rightful place on this earth. Now, what we see in these scriptures, as well as the other promises that we've looked at, is that there's the time difference between the Shekinah glory when it departed from the earth and its return back to this earth is the length of time of the times of the Gentiles. This does not include the church, and the church has not replaced Israel. And God will fulfill every promise he made to Abraham concerning Israel. And guess what? We will have front row seats as the bride of Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, as we look at it, the simplicity of it that's there. And we just ask, Lord, that you would just instill into our hearts and minds the truth, that we would be able to give an account of the truth, Lord, but, Lord, that we would live the truth. We thank you for the wonderful promises we have as a church, and we thank you for the unfolding as we see the unfolding truths of the promises being fulfilled that you made to Israel. And, Lord, one day, very soon, they'll be back in their land. You will be sitting on the throne of David in the holy city, Jerusalem, and they will be restored. And you will reign, and we will reign with you to the glory of your name. These things we pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.